fall back to thinking, time for thinking ahead.
It's about that time.
Very much from what it used to be.
When we say good morning.
There's so much hatred. War and poverty.
June 26th.
Oh, oh, oh.
It's a Monday. If you hate to love me, good morning. Love to hate me,
and the world is in
just love to love me.
When you teach
this is
to jump the very best you can.
This is the Hot Set, Dominica's most talked about talk show.
No matter if we just let it be.
The pleasure is mine in the morning, on the internet, good morning, tune in radio, at all various frequencies. This is the big station.
Wake up all the doctors, make those.
I know a lot of you are just standing by, yes, standing by, to hear the story that circulated on the weekend. Our good friend, Mr. Kala John Baptist, colleague and friend there now in Brussels, a lot of information about he was detained and the likes like this. So we are actually trying to find out what is the truth behind this story, and we'll try our very, very best to bring that to you this morning. I'm trying to hook up in my own way, my own technical way, with Kalile this morning. Given the technological advances, Kala John Baptist is on the line with me. I'm trying to talk to him through WhatsApp this morning, so please try avoid calling my cell phone at this time. So please try avoid calling my cell phone. We want to get to the bottom of that story. Kala John Baptist, are you here with me?
Hi, Matt.
How are you doing, Kala?
Good morning.
A lot of worried Dominicans at this time, Kalile. We heard the news on the weekend, and since Friday that the reports were that you were detained. We really want to get to the bottom of that story. I don't think you were, and you're actually in Brussels with other regional journalists on a special conference at this time. What can you tell us, Kalai? Let's go back to, was it Thursday or Friday? What happened at the United Kingdom border there? What happened?
Well, Matt, let me say good morning to you. Good morning to your many listeners in Brussels. It's way after 2 p.m. Brussels time. I arrived on British Airways flight BA2256. And for those persons who wondered, I was never, ever arrested. Never arrested. I arrived on the flight from Antigua into London Gatwick, and my mission was to be in transit for a few days, basically, then heading to Brussels for a European Union meeting conference that is with other 13 other regional journalists. So we are here. There's one person who seems to be still stranded in from St. Vincent. I think he's stranded in London because his passport expires in a few days time, so he was not given entry out of London. But with my situation, I went through immigration. I went to this immigration office. It's a Muslim lady, and then I went through there. She asked me what was my purpose in London. I told her that I was in transit, and she asked me for my return ticket. I had that. She asked me for documents, which I produced. And then she said, I saw she's writing something because I was straight up to her. Then she said to me that she's going to detain me, and she's going to withhold, she's going to hold my passport. I said, well, detain me for what? Then she said to me, hold on a while, her supervisor is coming. The supervisor came, and I must say, when he came, he was trying to be a little bit rough, but as soon as we spoke, I guess he understood everything, and he said to me, have a seat. I said, I'm not sitting. I'm not going to sit. I want to know what is going on. And he asked me the first question, what are you doing in London? I told him, And then I was leaning on, you know, a little area, a little partition there, standing straight up to him, gave him all the documents. And he said, okay, no problem. He had my passport. He asked me a few questions. And then he asked me to, if I was okay with him searching my bag. Where was my bag? I had my carry-on. He carried my carry-on up to customs. He took my bag from the belt, was already out. He opened my carry-on. He asked me if I had drugs. I said, I don't deal drugs. He asked me if I had cigarettes. I said, I don't deal with cigarettes. He asked me what else that I had. I told him I had some Pancho Cuba that I bought in Antigua for my sister. I had it duty-free. I showed him that. He said, oh, very good. He closed my bag. And then he asked me, I told him I have my camera bag. He said, okay, he just checked the camera bag. He did not open my camera. He said, you take good photographs? I said, yes. I told him, look at my computer bag there. He just opened it, did not check my computer, did not check anything else, closed it up. And he said, thank you very much. You okay? Then I told him, you know, I'm a retired FIFA referee. He said, seriously? And then we started engaging in football, et cetera, et cetera. And then as we were moving across, he said to me, you know, it's not anything for you to be worried about, is that you're coming from a high-profile country. And I said, what? He said, yeah. And then all I wanted to do was get out, because it was about between 10 to 15 minutes. I went out, and I related the ordeal to my sister. Now, remember that they had already given me this border force detention paper. So I related the matter to my sister. They did not take it back from me, stamped my passport, and I was gone. So I... I took a snap. Basically, they let the world see, you know, what happened. It's 10 to 15 minutes ordeal. Really embarrassing. But that's basically it. And I stayed in London for 2 days. I'm now in Brussels. I'll be going back to London and then enter to Dominica.
So, but Carlisle, you were a little concerned over what? I mean, to say to you that you're coming from a high-profile, high-risk country?
High-profile, high-risk country, high-risk. He said to me, high-risk country. That is what he said, high-risk country. And that was it. I left the gentleman. I went to do my business. I did not question him any further because, you know, you want to get out. You know, a little embarrassing. I was
so what is this actual document about? Help us understand this, Galal, the document that you received from the immigration that you were, I will insist, you were about to be detained because you were coming from a high-risk a country. What did you make of this, Kalan?
Well, Matt, if you look at the form that I circulated on social media, it says the notice to a person being detained at the border, and they had my passport, because remember the lady said that she was withholding my passport. She gave it to a supervisor. Her supervisor questioned me briefly, went upstairs to check my bag. I don't carry drugs. I've never dealt in drugs. And that was basically it. I do not want to go into all, you know, what I may think about that matter. I you know, it's rather unfortunate. It's just rather unfortunate. I was not placed in any cells or any cell at all. Like I said, it was out in the open. Everybody, you know, was right there to see what was happening. I was not, you know, it was like I said, a little embarrassing, 10 to 15 minutes. You know, you pulled up, asked questions. I mean, I know I don't deal with drugs. I know I don't carry drugs. Never will. So
Well, Kala, have you had the occasion to speak with your regional colleagues there? Any one of them experienced the same?
No, because they came in 2 days after me, because I went 2 days in advance. The others came 2 days after me. And they traveled via London into London Gatwick. Like I would be all going back together. Like I said, the only one other person who is not with us as I speak, it is a Vincentia. He, because his passport expires in about, I think, a month's time. He came into London Gatwick. When he went into London Heathrow, he was told that he was not going to be allowed to go through to Brussels, because they're not sure what was happening. He's at a hotel in London, and they're trying to see how they could get him out of London. But I can tell you that if I was not good for myself, if I was not able to, as they say in Dominica, debouiller myself, I probably would have been locked up. That's a fact.
That is a fact. And you have no doubt, Kalan, it's because you're coming from Dominica, high profile on the immigration list there.
And if you look at the form and you know, people asking what happened to the form. I mean, Matt, before I go further, I want to thank the many, many Dominicans who has called me from across. I mean, my family called, everyone, when I circulated that, they were very concerned. I mean, you know, I was at my sister's place, you know, in chatting with my sister, and a picture of mine that my nephew posted, we're having a drink, that also is on social media. but
people feeling truly, people truly concerned. I got a number of phone calls on the weekend. You would understand that we are good friends, and people think I would have known what happened. But I assured many that you were never detained.
Well, Matt, one thing I must say, that had I not had that phone and I had gone back to Dominican related, that people would see I'm a liar. They would have said that I am lying, nothing happened to me. But God works in mysterious ways. That form was not taken away from me. And so I was able to...
Many people are saying, I mean, a number of Dominicans go through that airport on a weekly basis. You know, it never happened. Why Kalai John Baptist? That was the question, of course, being posed.
I never want to go into that, because they asked me if I've been to London before. I said I've been to London about 8 times before. So that is not my first trip to London. I have been to London several times. Then they did not ask me about Brussels. When I entered Brussels, they asked me, have I been to Brussels before? I said yes. And that was it. I basically, at immigration in Brussels, I basically spent about 1 minute, in contrast to, where, like I said, the ordeal in London Gatwick. I spent between 10 to 15 minutes, no more than that, just about between 10 to 15 minutes. And I was not searched, just my bag. He asked me if I was carrying drugs, and that was it. Even like I said, but if it was an issue of drugs, let's say they were looking for drugs, they would have opened my camera, looked at it, they would have checked my laptop, I would have been thoroughly searched. That was not the case at all. I have my cell phone, then, you know. So it's not an issue about, say, they were looking for drugs. I don't know if it is a situation of mistaken identity. I do not know. I do not know. I don't know if it is the...
So all they said to you, you're coming from a high-profile, high-risk country.
High-profile, high-risk country. That is basically it. The gentleman asked me, I'm said to me, and that was it. And he said to me, have a good time, and then... We shook hands and I was gone.
but Kalal, what is your purpose in Brussels as we speak? A number of other journalists are there currently as well. You shared your story with the other Caribbean journalists?
Well, yes, I have shared my story with them, and everybody, they were particularly concerned about that. I shared it with the head of our delegation. They were particularly concerned about that, but what else can they possibly do? Everybody wondering what is going on. I mean, everybody had their own opinion. I mean, saying, well, maybe the passport issue, maybe the CBI, everybody saying, well, CBI, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't want to get into that.
You cannot speculate at this time, Kalal John Baptist. But I'm very concerned that they would tell you that you were coming from a high-profile, high-risk country. Well, something is up there.
Well, yes, that. But besides that, that was basically it. We have a long day ahead of us. We just came from a European Union press conference, there's a European report on drugs, new rules facilitating cross-border insolvency proceedings enters into force today. Some of the things, how the EU rules apply to banks with a capital shortfall, fact sheet. Also, they dealt with strengthening EU rules tackle money laundering, tax avoidance, and terrorism financing, which entered into force today. And of course, a few other, some serious areas. I've asked a few questions as it relates to climate change, as it relates to small countries, etc. And tropical storm Erica, what funding for Dominica, etc., etc. So it's a very, very interesting session. What I must tell you, Dumat, is that it gets very interesting because 90% of what we were brought up there to do is not going to be on the record. So only one at first we were told that we were able to report on two of them, but now we are told that we can only report on one so far. But we're trying to see how best we as journalists, Caribbean journalists, we have journalists from St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Grenada, Antigua, Barbados, St. Lucia, Anguilla, etc. So,
well, Kalal, what I'll tell you is I will keep on top of that on top of that story, and we'll follow you closely in Brussels if you can give us any further details, Kalal John Baptist. Thank you very much for connecting this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to particularly thank you for your support all the other persons, the journalists who has called me from far and wide, expressing concerns about me and wanted to find out if I was okay. I want to thank them and I want to ensure them that I am very, very, very much okay. And just continue to pray and give me the support. And I will be fine, Matt. You know, I can take care of
it. All right, Kalal John Baptist there in Brussels. A little concerned there and embarrassing, as Kalal explained. Why would they pull him up? We've been to Europe many, many times. I can't explain, I don't want to speculate, but why would the immigration officer pull the journalist over and tell him his country is high risk at this time? I don't know. Again, I don't want to speculate. Hello, talk to me.
Matt.
Yes.
For my first time in 2009, I was not kind of detained, but so to speak, detained for 5 hours at Gatwick. With that very same stupidness, asking about my country, whether it is a terrorist country, and all of this nonsense, Matt, until I was finally said, okay, Sonny, you can go. So it's not a new phenomena. It's a thing that they've been watching us for a long while. Bye.
Thank you very much. Somebody from London is telling me, Matt, the issue of fraudulent passports and nefarious people on the move is real, with the United Kingdom being used as transit for moving on to other European countries. And also people wanted to stay in the UK pretending to be students or other means. Many have been picked up who have overstayed and hiding and working in Wales and other parts of the UK. With the CBI, Dominica's name is staying not only in the United Kingdom, but also in Canada. That's a Dominican living there in the United Kingdom. Hello, looking out for other countries. Hello.
I say praises, thanks, blessings, and glory to all of you, Dominica. Mr. Pelletier, blessings and a family, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a call yesterday, a bit concerned.
Yeah.
I called you, I garage Carlisle, but at least I called you because I was a bit concerned. Matt, we have to understand, you see the series of attacks in London lately there.
Mm-hmm.
So is that you may have traveled there several times. Carlisle may have traveled there several times and not faced that level of embarrassment, so to speak, or having been detained for a few minutes or whatever. But Matt, what I need to tell you, can you recall when, I don't know if Angelo or who used to reveal to us, there are people. They are not Dominicans, but they have Dominicans' name and date of birth and address with the passport number. Same thing. You can recall the stories. And I don't know, it's Angelo Lennox or somebody. I don't know. Can you recall?
Faintly, yes.
Yes, I'm telling you, I can recall it quite vividly, my brethren, quite clearly. So, and with all this terrorism and all this thing about the CBI, I am not saying it is, but I think all that may be contributing factors to that level of embarrassment. So do not be surprised if it intensifies, Matt, because the world is becoming whether if it is being trumped up, it is being exaggerated, but the world is a very dangerous place and everybody talking about security. And as I said, with all the attacks in London lately, I have my own suspicion about all of that. But Matt, I'm just saying I wish Carlisle well, and I'm glad he's okay. And, you know, let us observe the signs of the time. Blessings to you, King.
Blessings to you again. I'm not going to speculate, but it seems very interesting that would have happened. Hello, talk to me.
Hello, morning, Matt.
Morning.
Matt, let's not try to be naive and ignorant of the fact. You made a point. You said it's a high-risk country. So what else?
That's what the immigration officer said.
Passports are being sold to crooks and criminals. So we are high-risk and we're being looked over. We're being looked at as a criminal enterprise, Matt. That's why Carlisle was chastised and interrogated. Let's not try to be naive about it. Come on. Let's get for real.
Thank you very much. It was last week some person challenged me as to, you know, in what newspaper that was reporting the issue of the Canadians and passport. Well, check the Antigua Observer, okay? Today, big headline. Let me see. It reads, Canada deports Iranians holding Eastern Caribbean CBI passports, detains others. All right? The Department of Immigration, Citizenship and Refugees of Canada has reportedly deported a number of Iranian nationals, all holding citizenship by investment CBI passports from Eastern Caribbean countries back to the countries that issued their passports. Other Iranians remain in custody in Canada also with CBI passports due to the fact that they were to be deported directly to Iran, they would be the subject to political persecution and possible imprisonment. There's more, but check out the Antigua Observer today. Concern Mountain. Hello, talk to me.
Matthias, very morning to you, sir.
My brother.
And your listeners this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, what happened to Carlisle over the weekend? It is not surprising to me, Matthias Pelty, because the world now is considered to be a global village. With the advent of technology, everything, everywhere can be sought at the tip of your finger. So when we in Dominica, when I say we, the government in Dominica is doing things that basically put in the other countries at risk, by basically selling our birthright in certain areas where terrorism is at its highest level. Matt, we have a cause for concern in Dominica. Matt, and do you think that security agent did not know Carlisle was a journalist? And I am only speculating here.
No, I'm sure, because he had to take a look at his passport. It says journalist.
Exactly. I am just speculating there now. I am saying, these people at the immigration border basically is telling Dominicans through a journalist in Dominica in no uncertain terms, we are looking at your country as a high-risk country. So put yourselves in order in this place. Matt, this is no surprise what happening to Carlisle, and it will happen to other Dominicans, Matt. When an ordinary Dominican now, or ordinary Dominicans, we'll start to get this rigorous treatment and this detainment, we will start to ask ourselves a question in this country as it pertains to the reckless leadership that Roosevelt, Skerrit, and his gang is perpetrating in Dominica, Matt. Matt, finally, before I leave, I want to ask all patriots this morning, Matt, to come down at the court where we will stand before Brother Oswald George in solidarity as he goes through that trumped up charge of obstruction through Roosevelt's Carrot and certain members of his police officers. Matt, thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Somebody says and reminds me, I don't know if you remember Irvin Williams that used to goalkeep for Saints and Dominica. He too was held over the same issue, but he actually spent several days locked up. I've been trying to contact him again to relate the story. That's what somebody is telling me at this time. I suspect they are flagging our passport aggressively these days. It's very, very sad. 8:31. Hello, talk to me.
Good morning, Matt.
Morning.
And how do you do?
Good.
Matt, well, again, in the absence of information, one is left to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one would come to the conclusion that they did not get news over the world that Dominica and maybe such countries or other countries were on some list, you know, pending some inspection based on what they believe. Now, the point is, these people are getting smart. They do not have to tell you who are the high-risk country. To them, they know what they know, and they will hold their information. So at the end of the day, because it didn't make headline news around the world that maybe Dominica could be a high-risk country and other countries, people can start arguing, ah, that's not true, that's not true. But it's not about that. The people are getting smart. If you put people on alert early and make it a big public thing, then you will not meet your objective. You need to meet people on a face-to-face basis and interview them and make sure that they are cleared. Because, Matt, you know the problem we have? We can't have our country just selling passports. If it's citizens by investment, it should be by investment. If the whole an Iranian, let's say an Iranian is held in England, America, anywhere, that Iranian should be able to tell the authorities, look, I have business in Dominica. The mere fact it does hold a passport, you might have been naturalized because you pay them among the money. The mere fact that it does hold a passport, it is not enough. That program needs to be revisited. It is not just about a passport. It should be about investment. Take, for instance, that Iranian woman they sent back from Canada. What is she going to, what is she doing? Does she have investment in Dominica? Maybe not. I don't know. But the point is, you're just going back to a country. You have no ties to the country except a passport. So, Matt, at the end of the day, I know there will be spinners to that. But the point is, when we fail to act in Dominica and we believe as though nothing is happening, internationally, the people will act for us. So those who think that everything is okay in Dominica, well, I will tell you, the international world will make us know how things are not that so good in our country.
You think we should be very worried, huh?
Very worried. And you see, I'm getting real. I'm upset about that now. It cannot be you have CBI or CIB. CBI, Citizenship by Investment. By investment, any word. In the acronym, JDI represents investment. Yet there is no investment. A man is having our passport. He comes in $0 in our country. And he uses our passport, sells our passport, and he becomes a millionaire. But he's supposed to come with his investment. That's how we know it. I give you citizenship because you intended to invest in my country and to make life better for the citizens of the country. Not that you come in with $0. Get my passport, sell it, and become a millionaire. That is the reverse of investment, man. Matt, you're not seeing that. That is the reverse mathematics. Have a good morning.
Have a good morning. The telephone's ringing off the hook. Hello, talk to me.
Hey, Matt, morning.
Morning.
Matt, let me say, the situation is from Calais.
Mm-hmm.
We mustn't make that a Calais situation, you know. Who published information, Calais?
What information?
Yeah, that Calais was detained. Where did that
come? The information from? May have come from Calais because he was given this paper from the deportation at the immigration office.
Yes, I understand.
And he held on to it. You know, I will say here, call up before you continue.
Yes, sir.
It's embarrassing, and I'm not happy. It happened to Carlisle John Baptist. But, you know, blessing in disguise, if it was somebody else, they may have not reported on the issue.
Which is exactly what I'm going to say to you. Maybe hundreds of Dominicans might go into that same situation, and we don't know. Because it's Carlisle, Carlisle made it public. Now you have to realize, thousands of our passports are out there, you know, not since that CBI thing. Now people need to understand. You have all kind of rogues. They have caught many people with our passports. So we must be on red alert out there, Matt. That is no surprise to me. Normally, there is what you call a random check where you just pull somebody aside for checking. It doesn't have to be. You can be whoever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Pull you randomly. But at the same time, with the situation with Dominica, we have thousands of people with our passports. So we will be checked mass. And that situation, I think it has happened to a lot of people. But Kalai is a journalist. Kalai was left with that paper by accident, and he made it public. But I think that is going on a larger scale than we can even imagine. Have a good morning.
Have a good morning. You know, there's a spin already on Facebook, I'm being told. I will share that with you. Somebody's saying, oh, the country of higher risk is Antigua, because that's what they placed on the form. It's interesting how people can spin issues, huh? Hello, talk to me.
Hello, morning, Ras.
Morning.
All right, I could recall sometimes early this year, Mr. Thomas Longton came out somewhere in America, so he could not come into Antigua, so he went to Guadeloupe. And remember, he have a diplomatic passport. On the diplomatic passport side now, that then is a special line. So, however, when he gives the immigration officer his diplomatic passport, the French immigration officer see Dominique, and then he gives him Mr. Thompson back his passport. You can remember that?
Yep, I remember that.
Okay, so that means to say, well, Dominique really under a high risk internationally. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, yes. 836. Luckily for Kalile, he took the form. Oh, you know, a person's out there would say that is not true. Well, he has the form, the deportation form that the immigration officer had already written down. Hello, talk to me.
Good morning, Matt.
Morning. How you doing?
Morning, dear listeners.
Morning.
Matt,
yes.
Remember sometime earlier, Matt, we had the issue of the... when they had the report of those countries that it was reported that Dominica is a transit port for drugs to the Europe and the United States, Matt?
I don't know if I remember that, though. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's true.
There's a report that comes out every year, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I think some strategic... I don't remember the heading of the report.
Okay.
But there was one last year that listed Dominica on that list, Matt, as a transit port, and that has been in the list for years, Matt. Secondly, Matt, we have the issue of this CBI passport that is issued. They don't even require to know where Dominica is to be given a passport into Dominica. And the last incident with Canada, Matt, with where they deported these people holding CBI passport from the Eastern Caribbean. Now, Matt, one of the interesting things I observe, Matt, these so-called journalists in Dominica, have they ever, since the arrest of Monferrat, have they ever visited Malaysia to find out what became of my DominicaTradeHouse.com and what happened to all these expenses and what happened, were these bills met? What, because it's my TradeHouseDominica.com. Now, all these are things that add up to these things. So it is not one thing in isolation. It is a combination of things that has culminated in the point where they have decided, finally, the governments unilaterally, it's not only Britain, it's not only Canada, the United States as well. Other countries are leading in that fight. So once you have a passport and it says Dominica, you are going to be detained at least or questioned longer or kept longer than anybody else. Matt, it is happening. It has been happening all the while, Matt. I don't know why people, they don't want to report it because they figure, well, you know, it will show bad on things or it will reflect on the administration in Dominica, Matt. And that is the problem.
I'll tell you what, because, again, you know, you'll have a lot of doubters, and somebody's saying here, the UK has never issued any advisory or expressed any concerns about our country being high risk. Hundreds of Dominicans frequently traveled to the UK and not one has been detained. I just mentioned to you a few minutes ago somebody who has been detained. Maybe you missed that one too, because they came from a high risk country. These guys continue, meaning the Kalile and others, these guys continue to display their dishonesty and continue to betray the country with malicious lies and fake news. This is one of the doubters here. All right, but I will still express and of course share your opinion, because we are about expressing and reporting the news. It doesn't really matter, you know, who it came from. 449-3095-9697. Kalila, I will congratulate you for holding on to that deportation form, because that immigration officer told you that you were coming from a high risk. So they were going to return you to Antigua. That's where you picked up the British Airways, the BA flight. Thank you very much. Hello.
My blessings to you again.
Boy.
These are not doubters, Matt. These are mercenaries.
God.
It doesn't matter if it is true or not. They're going to distort it. They're going to pull it out of its original position, twist it and pull it out of its original position. But it doesn't matter whether it is true or not. They are just paid to do the dirty job, or just a voluntary loyalty, so to speak, Matt, to the Labour Party, because nothing can be wrong. It's not about Dominica. They don't love Dominica, Matt, because all of them, like pirates on the high seas, really just robbing us blind. But, Matt, there is something you need to take into account, and I'm telling you, Matt, and Angelo was telling us, the people were held for a long period of time, when I told you about the same name, date of birth, same passport number. Angelo, I think it's on Angelo, who was giving us these informations, Matt. So, Matt, if you watch what is happening within the region, as I said, you see, Matt, I want to make an addendum or a connection or an addition, Matt, or some nexus, or some connection with the whole thing that happening on Venezuela. You see how the Minister of Foreign Affairs and Roosevelt Skerritt can come out and even condemn and say it has lost its relevance. The OAS, do not interfere in our business. Let us do what we want. So then people like Carlisle and you and myself and others, we are at high risk, you know, Matt. It's like Dominica and those other countries that are selling
power. Lessons, when will we listen, though? When will we listen? I mean, I just find it difficult.
Matt, and the same question I keep asking, what will be the tonnage of the straw that will break our virtual camel back? Because that camel seems to have back of maybe how they call platinum. Iron, platinum, I think, is one of the strongest elements, Matt. And I am wondering how much more Dominicans can take. And the world over, Matt, look at Donald Trump. Is like a goat skin on a drum. They keep beating him from day one. Dominicans does not want people to question the affairs of state and the governance. And it is sad to see where we are at, Matt. You talk about the footballer that was detained, or the goalkeeper, Matt, footballer.
Mm-hmm.
And because these things, and guess what? Could it be they're sending us a message?
Somebody else is, you see, the stories are coming up, because there's a lady from Portsmouth who went to England recently. After hours in detention, they shipped her back to Dominica.
Matt, so look at that, Matt. Could it
you see, I told you, it's because of that story from Kalaya, people will start talking.
Could that move on the journalists be deliberate or systematic, or you're not getting the message?
Good question, Blessing. Good question.
To a journalist, and if all you're not hearing, guess what? They maybe deliberately left him with the format as evidence. Look, that is what you went through. If these people heads are so hard, look, I'm just even trying to make it more obvious that you went through that rigorous scrutiny. And guess what? That's what we are thinking of all you. And Matt, all of our passports selling like hot bread. Skerritt said it. There are thousands in Malaysia, wherever he was. Thousands of Dominicans. Dubai, I think, Matt, when they go to sing with the Camille, there are some Calypsonians, some musicians there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they were. And he said it. Thousands. Matt, how can you invite people to your country under the pretense of citizenship by investment? No investment. You bring them here. You give them thousands of passports to sell, Matt. You don't know for who they're selling it. That is beyond your scrutiny, beyond your control. Who they sold it to? What these people know that they're not telling us, but sharing information between Europe and America, and really looking to just get the cause sink deeper into our vulnerable flesh, so to speak, Matt. Thank you.
All right, somebody's saying, Matt, blessings, while we question the state, you must also question the news. We accept nothing blindly. You can't, however, be on your high horse, just decide we are mercenaries because we have a critical mind. Somebody's saying here, of course, it's 8:45 Q95 will always report the news. Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Matt.
How are you?
You listen public, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard you ask a question. When are they going to listen? When are they really going to listen? We almost there, Matt. They will listen when all the America, Canada, all the democratic English-speaking countries have decided that they do not want Dominicans to come into their country. Then we'll start going to Russia. We'll go to China. We'll go to Argentina, Venezuela, and all those countries, no problem. We have plenty of work up there. We can talk all the languages. We just go there, no problem. People will listen, no worry. Have a nice day, man.
Have a nice day. It's 8:46. Matt, I can tell you that there are many unreported incidents like this, and many times people are not detained, but are mildly interrogated, not aggressive. Matt, you are aware a Dominican with a U.S. citizenship was questioned by the FBI. She was asked, why did she apply for the U.S. visa? I'm sure it happens on a regular basis. My concern, why will you tell that journalist that he is coming from a high-risk, high-profile country? Hello, talk to me. Maybe we should try to make contact with the British office in Barbados to see what is really going on. Maybe, it might just be a coincidence, but maybe we need to find out more. Hello, talk to me.
Matt, how are you doing?
All right, my brother.
Matt, I hear you call them I hear you speak about doctors. Matt, they are not doctors, Matt. They are just wicked. Some of them are paid to spin, and some of them have buried their head so deeply in the sand, defending that government over the years, that every time something embarrassing happens or something that happens as a result of the corruption and the bad practices of that government that they defend, they will come out and talk all kind of nonsense. Right now, they say Carlisle lying. First, they say it's Antigua. But Antigua is a transit country. You come from Dominica, you was in transit, Antigua, then you take the British Airways. But when you're filling up the form, you have to put your original port you came from, which is Dominica. You present a Dominica passport. But these people, they will continue to sound more and more ridiculous because it has just started. The best is yet to come.
All right, thank you very much. I heard that we had some reaction already from Mr. Tony. Tony Astafan. I'll play you some of that in a moment to give you an idea just what is going on. I mean, we're going to spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. It's going to get to your doorsteps one of these days. Hello, talk to me.
Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
How are you doing?
Good, man, good.
Okay.
You know, Matt, what Carly said was very frightening, because the same thing happened to me at the Heathrow Airport in London. I left New York on a round trip ticket to London to visit my family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get there, one lady came to me and said, please follow her to a room. I sat there for almost 47 minutes. They questioned me. They searched my luggage, questioned me. The only reason they didn't send back Dominica is because I came from New York with a round trip ticket. That's the only reason. So now it's getting really frightening now that Kalai said it. I took it for nothing the first time, but now it's something to do with the passport. I'm going to speculate and say that. I have to be the passport issue. Have to be.
Well, we'll find out. I'm going to find out. I'm going to call the British office in Barbados and find out, okay? Hello, talk to me.
Matt, sorry I have to call again, but I mean, Matt, it's obvious. It's very obvious that if Kalai took a flight from Dominica into Antigua,
mm-hmm.
he boarded a British Airways. So he would have to be sent back to Antigua, not Dominica. So what is Tony talking about? Really, I don't even want to talk about Tony, because Tony is not relevant at all. And Matt, why Carly wasn't sent back is because that trip was sponsored by the European Union.
But he was on his way to Brussels, huh?
Yeah. Okay, that's why he wasn't sent back. So we have a criminal enterprise running our country, and we need to stop that CBI program immediately, effective immediately. We need to stop it now. But have a great
I have a great one. I'll try my very best to get the reaction there from the senior counsel. They're monitoring very, very closely. Hello, talk to me.
Matt Delte, morning to you and morning to your
listeners. Morning to you, my brother.
I call as a citizen of the Commonwealth of Dominica and a concerned citizen. We hear from Carlisle John Baptist what transpired with him. And he's being told that it is high, he's coming from a high-risk country. He's coming from a high-risk country.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming from a high-profile country. Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
The question that now arises is what it is in Dominica that is high-risk, that is the risk of these people, and what it is that it is high-profile in Dominica. It has to do with the passport of Dominica. And I don't care which party people belong to. I don't care which church they go to. I don't care what it is, Matt. We as Dominicans have to be concerned, particularly when we're hearing of our passport is in the hands of crooks and criminals all over the world. Monfared was right here in Dominica, a wanted criminal that they were looking for, right here in Dominica. So we will pay the price, Matt. We will pay the price. And for those of us who sit down there who want to spin and spin and spin and spin, continue to spin, but one day that tub will not be able to spin. We have to say when something is wrong, it's wrong, you know. All of that happening because Mr. Skerritt and his administration are not doing due diligence on passport. They are just selling passport for big money to crooks and criminals, and they are using that same passport money to hit Dominicans like it's a strap. And the passport money is helping certain people. You have to be red, more red than red, for you to get assistance from your own passport. A passport was sold, Matt, to Susan Oldie. We asked the question from time to time about that money. We were told by Tony Astafan it was placed in the campaign of the Dominica Labour Party. So the passport of Dominica belonged to the Dominica Labour Party. You sell a passport and it is you put it into your coffers. An ambassador within the Labour Party sold a passport, it's alleged. 1.5 came in into his private account. And people in Dominica cannot put food on their table. And we're sitting there as if like we don't know what happened to Carla. It's because of our passport. And if Dominicans don't want to get rid of this administration will get rid of us. Thank you and good morning.
All right. Thank you very much. Hello. Talk to me. 853. Another phone call.
Matt, morning.
Very interesting discuss. Yes.
Matt, morning.
Mm-hmm. How you doing, my brother?
And Matt, morning to your listeners far and near, and Matt, morning to all the patriots of the Commonwealth of Dominica.
Uh-huh.
Matt, you know, I call this morning with a very, very heavy heart, as always, because it would seem as though the worst disaster in Dominica wasn't Hurricane David, it wasn't Tropical Storm Erica, than this rogue, corrupt regime. Now, Matt, I am not one who is going to be politically correct. I am not going to be politically correct. I am going to call it as I see it. Matt, I empathize with Kalai, and I empathize with all those who are going through that. Matt, in fact, my Dominica passport expired, and in protest, I was not going to renew it. But Matt, you know, I'm going to renew my passport, and I'm going to travel to those countries because I want to be pulled aside for me to expose the level of corruption that is existing in Dominica. Matt, I would want to be pulled aside, and not for no hour and 2 hours, you know. I want to be pulled aside, detain me for days. And when I finish, Matt, I will ensure that in Dominica, we would see the end of this corrupt regime. Matt, you have government ministers presently having children born. They are leaders of the country. Well, not my leader for sure. All their children are being born overseas. Why are they chewing but overseas when they're getting the cream of the crop of Dominica? And Dominicans have to face that. But I'm glad it happened, and I want it to intensify for us to recognize that we must shut down this. Matt, in fact, I don't believe in selling passport. Eh? My personal position, we should never be selling any passport for survival. We need to develop and enhance our agricultural sector, our manufacturing sector, our our agro-processing, and our tourism. And Matt, we have enough resources in Dominica for every Dominican to live comfortably. But you know what? We are in a Montferrat country. We are in Madueke country. We are a corrupt country. We are a rogue. We have a rogue government. And this is what is going to happen to citizens of the Commonwealth of Dominica. Matt, you have in the Gaza Strip, and you have Hamas. Hamas have been winning the election in the Gaza Strip, you know. But Hamas is seen as a terrorist organization. And I have no doubt, Matt, that this government, the type of damage, the type of infliction, the type of pain that is being unleashed on the Dominican people, they do not even know. Matt, Dominicans have been sold, and they do not even know. Matt, right now, England, our mother colony, a journalist coming from the Commonwealth of Dominica is being detained. Matt, not just pulled for extra scrutiny, you know. He's given a document that he was lawfully and legally detained because he is a Dominican. It needs to happen to every Dominican in Dominica. And Matt, let me make this appeal this morning. I have called already on the leader, the opposition parliamentarian in particular, Mr. Linton, Mr. John, Mr. Luge, all those holding diplomatic passports, call in a press conference and surrender those diplomatic passports in protest. Matt, we cannot continue to behave like Dominica is a normal country. Matt, Dominica has found itself in a place where the government is using the very resources to destroy the people. And you see that passport money that's circulating in Dominica, Matt? Dominica is going to be destroyed. That very passport money has to turn and is consumed.
But that's not what you want for your country, though, being destroyed.
Say again?
I said that's not what you want for your country. You said Dominica will be destroyed because of that passport money. No.
Matt, it's not me. We say Dominica is a democracy. That's what the majority wants. Because there's a corrupt government which has been accused of stealing election, which has been accused, Matt. Matt, you think the Europeans do not know that the government used expired checkers on its citizens? Matt, you think they're not out there, don't know those things? Matt, had I been in any political, senior leadership political organization in Dominica, Matt, this government would have been gone, you know. This government couldn't be in office, you know. But it's the type of fight that we're not showing. Because these guys, as we have been calling and we have been saying, that they have been accused of so many, you know, infractions. Matt, these guys have been accused of so many things that they will do anything to hold in power. But when a modern-day government wants to go in parliament and legitimize bribery and treating, Matt, you surprised that they're pulling Dominicans aside? I want them to put all Dominicans on a no-fly list. Ban Dominicans from traveling internationally. That is the time we'll get up and get rid of this government. If that is what you have to take, Matt, let it happen.
Caller, thank you. Thank you very much this morning. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back after this. This is The Hot Seat.
Dominica, get ready for one of the most celebrated Haitian copper bands, D-Vice. D-Vice. CPAF, in collaboration with Typhus and Lido Baron Restaurant St. Martin, present the D-Vice live in concert on Friday, July 14th at the Strip Lade Coco 8 p.m. If you love D-Vice, you've got to get loud, get loud. D-Vice. Also, Theo Cass, Elijah Vino, Dios Copa, Grand Black, DJ Biggest from St. Martin, Prince Wallix, and more. Partners include Digicel, DBS Radio Corps, Q95 FM, The Big Station, Deepex, Fine Foods, Inc., and more. Purchase tickets from Moonshine Pharmacy, Deepex Corner Lab from now until June 30 at $40. July 1st to July 14th at $50. More at the door. D-Vice Live in concert, July 14th at the Strip.
The 2017 Qatar Slipso Show is on. All singers and songwriters should register with NCCU by June 30, 2017 for audition on Saturday, July 15, 2017. Get ready!
Dominica, get ready for one of the most celebrated Haitian copper bands, D-Vice! D-Vice! CPAF, in collaboration with Typhus and Lido Baron Restaurant St. Martin, present the D-Vice live in concert on Friday, July 14th at the Strip Lade Coco 8 p.m. If you love D-Vice, device. Device.
Menu, 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 menu.
Also, Theo Cass, Elijah Vino, Dios Copa, Grand Black, DJ Biggest from St. Martin, Prince Wallace, and more. Partners include Digicel, DBS Radio Courts, Q95 FM, The Big Station, Deepex, Fine Foods, Inc., and more. Purchase tickets from Moonshine Pharmacy, Deepex Scholar Lab from now until June 30 at $40. July 1st to July 40th at $50. More at the door. Device Live in concert, July 40th at the strip. Bam!
The views expressed during this program are not necessarily those of YSQ95 FM Radio. YSQ95 FM Radio has not been able to independently verify the factual correctness of the allegations and statements made during this program and cannot vouch for their accuracy. Therefore, YSQ95 FM Radio will not accept any responsibility or liability for the statements or allegations made in the course of this program.
Comme madame a reporté ça que quoi chez médecin ni côté qui a pharmacie we are the good boss in class et puis on te support en la main it is how café et puis ça and not well my last 2 weeks et puis ça harry upon yes is true pizza money on te port là donc j'ai dit moi pour mettre urine en zimo 3 times a day madame lieli dit ou mieux urine harry mieux mieux non médecin vous y pas you and where's the prescription il dit me approche mommy what's the sense of buying that les mots rapisser tout le temps no you see the importance of going to your pharmacist listening to your pharmacist and having confidence in your pharmacist fps.plus will they place a higher premium on patient-pharmacist relationship than Quick Care Pharmacy Cote Hillsboro just before the National Bank. Cote Quick Care is not just a quick fix. It's not just about tablets and spoonfuls. They've brought back the care into medicine. Whether it's a prescription or over-the-counter medication, the priority is your health. To take the right medication, the right amount for the right reason. Hey, Madam Harry, I see you writing your medical book, Next of King, Henrietta, Harry, movie fam. By the way, it's Next of King, Packing. Hey, Harry, ukake mo movie. All I want for you is good care. We that is why I always recommend Quick Care Pharmacy. We go to health, bro.
Okay, we're coming back to take your phone calls. It's 2 minutes after 9 o'clock in the morning, June 26th. Hello,
Matt. Hey,
how are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay,
Matt, you remember when Aaron Packett has spoken about his passport, what he had experienced? Dominicans didn't take heed. They thought it was a joke. You see what is happening? You see right now, it's Kalai and others. Just now, it will reach in their doorstep. The people that are trying to spin this, it will happen to them. It will happen to their family. And then they will understand that one day, one time, Dominicans will not be able to travel and go nowhere. They will be stuck and trouble for us. Trust me.
Well, you know what they say. It's 9:03. Hello,
Matt. I call again quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, the new the current spin they have saying that it's Antigua that is the high-risk country.
So they're blaming Antigua now.
Yeah, I want to say to them. Well, before they go further with that spin, or before others choose to repeat it, answer that question. If Antigua was a high-risk country and Calais was coming from Antigua, a high-risk country, why did they not detain the entire plane, everybody on the plane? Why is Calais with the Dominica passport they detained and not everyone coming from Antigua on that same flight? Or maybe Calais had a chartered flight, he alone was on the plane. I cannot, but this is so ridiculous, Emma. I could not be a politician in Dominica. I don't have patience to deal with that level of ignorance and stupidity.
9:04. Hello.
Yes, Matt. Hi, Matt. Matt, I think people need to understand something, Matt. Carlisle was arriving in London on British Airways flight.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the flight originate, Matt? Matt, this is what happens. When you arrive, for example, when you arrive at Melville Hall, it doesn't say that the flight came from Miami, you know. You arrive at Melville Hall from the flight, either from Antigua or the flight from San Juan, because there's where you make your connection, Matt. And I think Dominicans need to understand that. I think they are playing on the ignorance of Dominicans too much. The other thing too, Matt, they don't have to tell Dominica they are on no list. Dominica has been on the list for a long time now. They have been on the list of tax evasion. They have been the list of connecting to high risk for transmission of drugs. They have been on the list, Matt, with the CBI. I think Matt Dominic has been on the list long ago. This foolishness that people want to come and play on the ignorance of some people. But all people have to do is read. Just go online, get there's a CIA report on the different countries in the Caribbean. The U.S. government, the Department of, I think, Drug Enforcement or something, issues an annual report, Matt, that tells you that Dominica has been on this list for years now, at least 10 years now, Matt. So when people come talking foolishness, the flight says, BA flight number, so arriving from Antigua.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. Beatrice Airways doesn't come to Dominica. If it was coming from Dominica, what it would have said? The flight arrived from Antigua, on which Mr. Carly John Baptist was a passenger. But he's a Dominican coming into London via Antigua. That is all it says, and I think people need to understand this thing and dismiss Anthony Estefan and his nonsense. But this is sad.
Yes, it's really sad. All right, but let's listen. Let's listen. You know what we do. We are a democratic country. Let's give him a listening ear there. This is what Tony Estefan had to say, from what I gather. Carlisle John Baptist, I hope you're listening. Let's listen.
What does that have to do with the government of Dominica and Dominican passports? Of the hundreds of people that are going to in and out of the United Kingdom with Dominican passports, the one they chose is Kalai John Baptist, a so-called journalist in Dominica. And what does that have to do with the government? Really, what does that have to do with the government? The British government have imposed no visas, no restrictions, nothing. All that happened is they would have asked Kalai how much money he have, where's he going, where's he staying, how long he plan on staying. Kalai probably had nowhere to stay and no money in his pocket.
You see how personal Tony Estefan gets? He even refers to Kalai John Baptist.
That's what they're trying.
You know, one journalist he'll always run to report the stories as a so-called journalist, even getting personal. It tells you who these people are. They'll use you and spit you out. 907. Happy this clip was sent to me. Mr. Estefan, you show who you are to protect your political friends every day. Hello, talk to me.
Matt, morning again.
Wow. Hello, hello.
Matt, morning again.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, Tony's statement. Tony is irrelevant in the scheme of things. So I will pay no mind to Tony.
Okay.
Right. I have taken that personal decision. Do not speak about Tony. So whatever Tony said, he say. I am speaking now with my governance of my country. Matt, one or two of your callers ago made a very important call, and I want to support him 100%. Matt, it is not about talking. It is about walking the talk now. And I am saying, our diplomatic passports now has found themselves in so much hot water under this Roosevelt-Skerrit administration that I am calling on the opposition members in parliament. Those who hold these diplomatic passports, you only need a diplomatic passport for travel purposes, for basically for you to pass through security when the other people don't pass through. I am saying to these opposition members, man, if they worth their salt, because talking is talking, but action means much more. Surrender these diplomatic passports for the meantime. You all don't need these diplomatic passports now. These diplomatic passports, in the eyes of the world, is in too much hot water. You all are not money launderers. You all are not drug pushers. You all are not crimers. If you all mean what you say about our diplomatic passports in so much scrutiny, where the world security is concerned, I am saying, I am suggesting, you all need to start to walk the walk, surrender this diplomatic passport so that the world can see and prove that you all are not in cahoot. You all are not in bed with this Roosevelt Skerrick administration by holding on to this nonsense called diplomatic passport for the meantime. Thanks, man.
9:10 is the morning time. I'm very happy. You know, somebody suggesting to me that, you know, a good friend, you sent me this clip from Mr. Tony Asafan. And a friend was always warning me a very long time ago, Matt, I warned you about this Tony Asafan. The man's first cousin in St. Kitts calls him a political, I won't even repeat. He introduced himself to Denzel Douglas, and when he started expressing opposition to Denzel, Tony started attacking him. That's his personal his cousin in St. Kitts. This Tony Asafan, they say, you have to watch very closely. Hello, talk to me.
Matt Pelte, morning again.
Morning.
Your last caller there, who is also the president of the Concerned Citizen Movement, who is also my president, while I am the public relations officer, hit the nail right on the head. And I joined the president of the Concerned Citizen Movement in calling on the opposition to pass on the passport, the diplomatic passport, because of what our passport is involved with. Crooks and criminals all over the world give up the diplomatic passport. If you believe in the people, you stand in the interest of the people, you speak for and on behalf of the people of Dominica, you can do without the diplomatic passport. The next sitting of parliament, give the diplomatic passport up, because diplomatic passport and passport on a whole is like when you're flushing toilet paper in a toilet. That is what it is. So I'm expecting the opposition.
So it's not worth it, sir? That's what you're saying?
It's not worth it, Matt. It's not worth it at all. Having a passport now is like having toilet paper at your home. You understand? And seeing that they are members, elected members, they are members of the parliament, they will be traveling back and forth. Go through the roughness with Dominicans. Stand with the roughness with Dominicans and you will understand. But give up the diplomatic passport that you have. I support the president of the Concerned Citizen Movement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 9:12. Hello.
Yes, Matt. Good morning.
Morning, morning.
Matt, I would like to share the same sentiments your last few callers have said.
Give the diplomatic passport away.
It up. Give it up. In protest and let them see that we are serious about things, Matt. I believe in that. I subscribe to that. Give it up. Good. And Matt, one more thing. I don't know why you're always mentioning that lawyer's name, you know. I don't even want to mention his name. I have taken a stand for the last year and so not to talk about Mr. He's irrelevant. In
he's becoming more insultive, caller, every day. 9:13. Hello. Talk to me.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just want to join the two earlier callers who made the
suggestion.
Opposition party leaders who actually hold a diplomatic passport to surrender this passport as a form of protest. The diplomatic passport is a document of privilege, and I think we now see more and more clearly that the document is actually tainted. So in order to work and to support the mass population, I think that's a very good gesture. I would like to ask on more Dominicans to call and ask the opposition to surrender or submit their diplomatic passport as a form of national protest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Somebody says, high-risk countries, Commonwealth, we know. Come on, man. We know what that means. It happened to Carlisle for a reason. Only now it is reported. Looks like others may have experienced the same but said nothing. When other people will be detained, they should call Tony. Does this guy realize what he's saying? What's going on the ground? Is not the same. He's a non-factor. Hello, talk to me. Maybe you may be right. Hello, talk to me. 449-3095-9697. We'll come back after this. strange.
The views expressed during this program are not necessarily those of YSQ95 FM Radio. YSQ95 FM Radio has not been able to independently verify the factual correctness of the allegations and statements made during this program and cannot vouch for their accuracy. Therefore, YSQ95 FM Radio will not accept any responsibility or liability for the statements or allegations made in the course of this program.
It is how cafe Episa and not well my last 2 weeks. Episa. Harry upon yes is true. Pisa money on Tipotla. Doctor Dimop to make a urine and zimo 3 times a day. Madam Lieli do murin Harry Mew no medicine for safe are you? And where's the prescription? It is me a posh mommy. What's the sense of buying that? Let me happy say tout temps. No, you see the importance of going to your pharmacist, listening to your pharmacist, and having confidence in your pharmacist. FPS.plus will they place a higher premium on patient pharmacist relationship than Quick Care Pharmacy Cote Hillsborough just before the National Bank. Cote Quick Care is not just a quick fix, it's not just about tablets and spoonfuls. They've brought back the care into medicine. Whether it's a prescription or over-the-counter medication, the priority is your health. To take the right medication, the right amount for the right reason. Madam Harry, I see right in your medical book, Next of King, Henrietta, Harry, movie fam. By the way, it's Next of King, Packing. Even Harry, Ukaki, my movie. All I want for you is good care, we. That is why I always recommend Quick Care Pharmacy, we go to Hillsborough.
If you're the one paying for college, shouldn't you be spending your hard-earned money on an associate degree that is internationally recognized and does not cost you a fortune? That's right. Right now, you can earn a fully accredited and internationally recognized CXC or CAPE associate degree with Lit Institute for much less than what it costs to study abroad or anywhere in Dominica. Earn transfer college credits that allow you to apply and gain acceptance to the best colleges and universities around the world. Or simply upgrade your qualifications with a CAPE associate degree and apply for the most competitive jobs and promotions. Degrees available in business, economics, accounting, entrepreneurship, information and communication technology, law, natural sciences, environmental science and tourism. So do yourself a favor and get the CAPE advantage. Register anytime before June the 30th and qualify for even lower tuition.
All right, this time I'm going to join the National Radio Station for a few minutes. The results of the national assessment exams, we'll talk a little later on everything you're talking about, but I think this is very important. I know a number of parents are out there waiting for the results. We're going to join the education ministry here for a few minutes. Let's listen for a few minutes.
From the maths is copied onto the language, where again the boys are underperforming in the subjects in maths and language. And you see below here, gender disparities continue, more girls receiving the higher grades and more boys receiving D's and E's. Same thing again, using the language distribution, you see the same thing as you saw with the maths. The focus again, the concentration will be children be performing on average. That's over 100, because what we did, we put the math, the paper one and the paper two together, and paper one and paper two come together as 100 points, so that's why you see things like 187.5 and so on. And the focus, again, the majority of the students would be will be concentrated around the middle area, which would be the C's, less A's and less D's and E's. We also have to look at the students who performed, who got less than 40% in all components of the national assessment. And if we just compare, we can look at this year. You have 4% of all girls getting less than 40% in language one, as opposed to 16% of our boys. Last year we had 5% of our girls, so there's a slight decrease, so that our girls did a little better this year as opposed to last year. And we have 13% for boys last year. This year, 3%, only 3% of our girls scored less than 40% in the paper two, all right? 40% is about 16 over 40, so less than 3% of our girls got less than 16 points, all right? Whereas we had 11% of our boys. The boys did better this year because last year they were about close to 18%, so it dropped to 11%, so their writing has improved somewhat this year, okay? And for maths, 11% of our girls scored less than 40%, as opposed to about 21% of our boys. Again, last year, 10% of our girls, and about, again, 20% of our boys. For science, 6% of our girls scored less than 40%, as opposed to 14% of our boys. That's an improvement, where last year, 8% of our girls scored less than 40%. But again, the boys are underperforming. And for social studies, the girls almost the same, about 7%, 7 to 8%. But again, we see an increase in the number of boys getting attaining less than 40% for social studies. Okay. Again, we showed a little, what we just saw on the table, that is it in graphical form. The pink, again, representing the girls, and the blue representing the boys. And here, we can say that the boys are really showing that they are when you compare the bars, they are underperforming. They are really performing way lower than that all the girls are performing. Okay? And now we are going to look at those we consider having the scholarships and the bursaries, all right? So about 24% or 25% of our girls got more than 80%, as opposed to 16% of our boys. So overall, about 20% of our students, we could say, got scholarships and bursaries, right? 20% out of 1,001. Then we have 23% of our girls scoring more than 80% in the composition component, as opposed to 12% of the boys, for an overall of about 17.9 or 18% of our students scoring over 80. For maths, girls 23%, boys 14%, for an overall of 18.52%. Science, girls about 17%, boys about 15 or 16%, for an overall of 16%. And for social studies, 22% for girls, 15 or 16%, you can say about 16% for boys, for an overall of about 19% of our students doing very well in social studies. Again, that is just the same thing, but in graphical form, so you can actually see. Whereas our last, when we're looking at weak students, the bars, the blue bars were higher than the pink bars. In this case, when you're talking about very strong performance, we have the pink bars, we have represent the girls higher than the blue bars. So again, in all aspects, the girls are outperforming the boys. Okay, and here we have a distribution of scholarship by gender. So we have East, North, South, West. Okay? And it just again shows that the majority of the girls got scholarships as opposed to the boys. Right? Scholarship and bursaries, that is. Right? Now, this just shows what the chief education officer was saying. So below here, you have what is called, we call entry, and up here on the side, on the vertical line, we have total, which is what would be the standardized means. And we are saying that it doesn't matter what size the schools are. Okay, so you have this dot right up here for 475. And it's showing that it's a school that may have enrolled about between 10 to 20 students, and they performed very, very well. Okay, so that's what the dot on top here is showing, all right? As opposed to another small school, which is between 0 and 10, did not perform as well, just around the, just below the 350 mark. So that's all it is showing, that there are some schools, doesn't matter whether the school is a large school, whether the school is a small school, whether the class is small, whether the classrooms are small or so on, the class size, sorry, that does not determine how the students would perform at the grade 6 national assessment. So what we have just seen is that the results show that there's no direct relationship between school size and student performance, that some small schools that we just saw outperform some of the larger schools, and likewise, some large schools outperform some of the smaller schools, right? And what I'm just going to show on this slide is the minister is going to tell you just now who the top schools are. And this is just a little thing to show you what we pick out the top schools. So let us suppose the child who has 425 is the island scholar from a particular school. So the child has a high total, okay? But the other students in that school scored 250 and 225. So overall, the mean standardized score for that school is 300. But although the island scholar came from that school, it does not mean that that is the top school. Let us look at the other one where some three children again. But look at their scores, 400, 375, 380. Nobody scored 425. However, when it took their average, the average was 385. And so because of that, the school's average, this is what determines what we say when we say a school performs very well or a school does not perform very well. Okay? And this is the end of my presentation. I'm going to leave the excitement for Miss Catherine Daniel.
You can. So you will ask questions about that a little later. We now invite Lady Catherine, Honorable Lady Catherine Daniel, who represents our minister, to
Okay. A pleasant good morning to all. Let me first of all apologize for the absence of the minister, who is away out of state on very important matters. And so I'm very happy to be here representing him. Let me recognize among us the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Education, Mrs. Chandler Hyacinth, the Chief Education Officer, Mrs. Melina Fountain, the Assistant Chief, Dr. Jeffrey Blaise, SEO and staff of the Curriculum Unit, specifically Mr. Gist and Ms. Robinson, Senior Education Officer, Secondary Schools, or the officials of the Ministry of Education, members of the media, both print and otherwise. As I said, a pleasant good morning to all. Thank you to the members of the press who are here to assist us in the official release of the 2017 Grade 6 National Assessment Results. I am happy to note that you have turned out in full force, because some of you I don't see you at other press conferences, but you've turned out in full force to record our children's achievements. I have to say thank you to DBS and Kairi for also carrying this press conference live so that the listening public can be so informed. The Ministry of Education congratulates all who wrote the 2017 Grade 6 National Assessment and will be moving to secondary schools. I extend special commendations to those who topped the exam. Dedication, perseverance, sacrifice, and hard work results in success. And it is this dedication, perseverance, sacrifice, and hard work which have led us to this moment. The government and people of Dominica wish you the best as you embark on your new journey of secondary school, that's to the children. I must extend congratulations to the schools, the teachers, principals, and support staff who collaborated to ensure the right learning conditions were in place to facilitate the student's success. Although we see a slight decline compared to 2017, yet still we have great success in certain areas. Parents have also played a significant role, and I commend those of them, because not all of them are very committed. I hope this serves as an impetus to those who are not so committed to come on board. So I need to commend them for their commitment to their children's education over the past years, because it's not only in grade six that the education begins, and for you to hurry, it begins from the time the child steps foot in the primary setting. I take this opportunity to remind our parents that their interests and support are important contributors to a child's success. Ongoing research shows that family engagement in schools improves student achievement. And when I say family engagement, positive engagement, because when we have the negative engagement, we see the results of it in the children's performance. So I must stress here, positive engagement in the child's interests and support are important contributors to a child's success. What does that do, the engagement? It improves students' achievement, it reduces absenteeism, maintains and restores children's confidence. Students with involved parents earn higher grades and test scores. They have better social skills and show improved behavior. So parents and children, I must say hats off to you today for having played your role and bringing this level of excitement to your children for the 2017 exam. Now, based on our assessment of this year's results, we note that girls continue to outperform boys by an average of 5% across all subject areas. This is a persistent statistic over the years. While we continue to seek ways to raise the standard of achievement for both genders at the ministerial level, I implore every education stakeholder to assist us in that regard. Let us not leave our boys behind. Let us all look at how we are as a society engaging with our boys and responding to their needs. Our boys need mentors, and I believe they can find positive influences starting in the home, church, community groups, and certainly in the schools to help boost achievement levels. We know that reading is a fundamental in every subject. If you cannot read, you will not achieve. Reading, yet still, reading is only the tiger's tail, the little pit. Students who read more do better. And nowhere is that more evident than in the result of the Grade 6 National Assessment. We have seen that students who score high on reading aptitude tests at the early grades inevitably do better in all subjects areas. That is why it is very important that the different testing areas, grade 2 assessment, parents, teachers have to take note of the results at the stages so that you can do the interventions at the grade 2 level, at the grade 4 level, so that when they reach the grade 6 level for the national assessment, they can have a level of success. So it begins all the way down there. We must therefore recommit not only to raising reading levels in the classroom, but more so to engendering an early love for reading in the home. Parents and other family members are encouraged to do their part to prepare students for long-term academic success. We may say here that not all parents can read, not all parents have the ability, but just showing the interest, just being there, just listening, just opening a book with your child, all these are activities which will help the children to engage in successful reading activities. Help grow a love for reading among your children by exposing them to books, by reading to them, as I said, and by encouraging them to choose a book over the television or other forms of entertainment. At the ministerial level, we are currently participating in the USAID OECS-sponsored project called the Early Learners Program, or the ELP, as it is referred to. The program is concerned with building and improving on the capacity of our teachers to be effective transmitters of reading and writing skills. It is in line with our efforts to strive for elevated levels of achievement by providing continuous training for our teachers. In January of this year, for example, 5 persons were trained as trainers and master teachers to work with our schools in the area of literacy. And just yesterday, I was looking at a program on television, though you say don't look at television, it decides, you know, that's, and they were talking about this master teachers thing, the impact that it has on the school. So we are trending towards that area. 70 teachers from grades K to 3 were also provided with training. Another 60 teachers over a 2-week period as master teachers to prepare them to train the other teachers at their school in the course of the coming school year 2017-2018. So we should see better results, and maybe we will see the boys running ahead of the girls. All of this is in an effort to increase the performance of our primary school students in literacy so that they are fully prepared to tackle the work at the secondary school, because the transition is not an easy one from primary to secondary. Similarly, we continue to tackle numeracy through targeted interventions at schools through programs designed to raise interest in the subject. These efforts, we hope, will result in improved achievement levels for students at all levels in our school system. And I have to bring in a little anecdote there. Yesterday, on Friday, I met a guy in my office who hated maths. He couldn't understand maths. But he used to be selling food items, and they had to take the maths, place it in the context of the food items that he was selling and making the money. So he had that interest, and it's no surprise that his maths level increased tremendously. So we have to look at those ways of bringing that to the classroom so that we can improve the level of mathematics in the system. As ministry, we remain committed to our mandate to provide all citizens with quality education in keeping with our vision, each child succeeds. Members of the press, listeners, I will now announce the results of the 2017 Grade 6 National Assessment. That's what y'all have been waiting for. And I think we hear, we listen, but we'll only hear that part. On the basis of this year's result, the government of Dominica has decided to award scholarships to all students who obtain, and it's the same everywhere, it's, though I have it in grade levels there, but I think we need to inform the media that is the aggregate points. It's the aggregate points. And children who obtain between 18 and 20 points, they are scholars. And those who get 16 and 17 points end up with a bursary. How are the combinations achieved? Students who have 4 grade A's, or 3 A's and 1 B, or 3 A's and 1 C, or 2 A's and 2 B's, they obtain scholars if you add them. Because the A is 5 points, the B is 4, the C is 3, the D is 2, and the E is 1. Bursaries are to be awarded to those students who obtain the equivalent of 4 Bs or better, but did not qualify for the award of a scholarship. So they'll get 16 and 17 points in their aggregate scores, and they'd be entitled to a bursary. On this basis, 100 students were awarded scholarships this year, and 86 were awarded bursaries. The amount allocated to scholars and bursaries for bursaries, textbook, and stationery remains at $500 and $300, respectively. The top performers now in the 2017 examinations were, and I'm just going to give all names and the schools because they all had A's, all A's, so they all obtained 4 A's. The names of the children from the St. Martin Primary School, Adiola Xavier, from the Temple SDA Primary, Dillion Fontaine, from the male, so we have one male in the midst, so which is very good. And I think maybe this child deserves, we need to raise that child up and use that child as an example so boys can do it. At the St. Martin, and all the three others are from the St. Martin Primary School. Nalia Alexis, Karel Joseph, and Kalisa George. So out of the five top students, the St. Martin School has captured four places and one place of the lone boy, his only boy, to the Temple SDA Second Primary School. And congratulations to all of them for a job well done. Now, the top performing schools, Miss Robinson eloquently told you how they arrive at the top performing schools, and they are in order: the Pioneer Preparatory School, the Lighthouse Christian Academy, Petit Savan Primary School in spite of the storm, St. Martin Primary, Ebenezer Seventh-day Adventist School, Roosevelt Douglas Primary School, St. Mary's Primary, Berean Christian Academy, and the Convent Preparatory. I need you to congratulate the top performers and the top performing schools, and I wish all the students proceeding to secondary school God's guidance as they go on to pursue further academic success. This is just one step up the ladder. On your journey, remain focused. Let God be the center of your life, and all other things will be added unto you. I extend thanks to the principals and teachers who worked tirelessly with the students, and the officers of the Ministry of Education who prepared and administered this year's examination. And I also want to applaud the officers of the Ministry of Education who have been working with the schools in their training efforts, because without those efforts, not only in the administration, but it's these efforts that have brought us here today with that level of success. So Ministry of Education, the administrators, PS, and everybody else, thank you and congratulations. Again, congratulations.
.43 Congratulations to all the top students of this year's national assessment exams. I'm sure we have a lot of exciting parents at this time, a lot of exciting students. Q95's remaining on top of the action. We have another 16 minutes. And of course, we'll open up the lines again there, and then we'll talk for a few minutes to our good friends from Fast Cash. We'll talk again tonight. This afternoon from, of course, 1 o'clock on Talk on the Block. A lot more excitement issues coming back. Well, a few more minutes and you can call us and then we'll talk to Fast Cash. Hello.
Hey, Matt, morning.
My brother.
Matt, I just want to let the Patriots know that the case for Amazon George has been postponed.
It has been postponed?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I just came from there and I met with Roy Tavernier. While we were gathering there, he was just leaving, so he told me the lawyers came out and said that it is postponed.
Thank you, my brother, for that. Yes, thank you.
Know that, yes.
Thank you. Hello, talk to me.
Hello, Matt.
How you doing?
I'm excited. I'm well.
You excited?
Yes.
All right.
Niece Lilia, Alexis, Dr. Alexis' daughter came third in the island. I'm a happier auntie. And all of our family members, we are proud of her. Oh, it's rejoicing time in Jesus.
Thank you, Dr. Alexis, my good friend. Thank you and congratulations. So much news, so little time this afternoon. From one, we're back on Talk on the Block. And we have a big meeting tonight. Joshua Francis on the line with me for a minute here to announce the big meeting in Loubier tonight of the Opposition United Workers Party. Joshua, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Matt.
Uh-huh.
Good morning to Dominica.
I guess you've been following the big news, huh?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Let me take this opportunity to congratulate the students, the schools and families who have attained success at the National Exam 2017. Matt, it's always a pleasure to listen to persons talking about the achievements of our young people. And that is one of the reasons why Team Dominica United Workers Party continue to advocate for a better Dominica, because we understand that our children are assets. They are the most treasured assets, and we have to do our utmost for them to meet their maximum potential. On that basis, allow me to inform the public that Dominica United Workers Party has an important meeting at Loubier at 7 p.m. That is at the Loubier Resource Center. The purpose of the meeting is in continuation of our education and enlightenment of the public on the need for campaign electoral reform. So come all at the Loubier Resource Center, 7 p.m. this evening.
Joshua Francis, thank you very much. Tonight at the Resource Center there. Uh-huh. God bless you. God bless Dominica.